Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sports Kingdom. I'm your host, Jordan Breyer, the King. welcome to Sports Kingdom. I'm your host. Different day, different show. It's game one of the 2023 NBA Finals, and I'm pretty excited. I'm sure many Heat fans are excited. Nuggets fans are excited tonight at the arena, Stan Kroenke of the Los Angeles Rams and Denver Nuggets. Respectively owns very big matchup today. You can call into the show, get your number in right away into the queue, as the number to the show is 563-999-3522. Again, 563-999-3522. I'm about to just take a sip of water real quick. I couldn't believe just how quick the intro went by. Just give me a sec. Lemon water. So, with that, like I said, you can call into the show. We're going to get to the Miami Heat and Denver Nuggets, but like always, I like to run down some quick news today. I promise today will be quick, since I'm sure we might get some calls throughout the coming hours and discuss most of the time the Miami Heat versus Denver Nuggets, as it's highly anticipated. I think this is one of the more highly anticipated finals in recent memory. Last year, I thought really lacked, even though it was nice to see Stephen Curry and the Warriors go on to win their next multitude of single titles. Stephen Curry put in solid performance, as always, throughout 2022, but the Golden State Warriors, I felt, didn't really receive much good competition last year against the Boston Celtics, and obviously, you look back throughout time and history, the Celtics failed to get the job done against the Heat, failed to at least, I believe, win one game against the Warriors in the NBA Finals. I mean, talk about how bad the Celtics choked. I'm not saying that to be biased or negligent of the Celtics' efforts, performances throughout the past. I'm just saying it's pretty factual. It's pretty vivid to the eye that the artists happen to be the Boston Celtics, as well as the Boston Bruins. If you listen to my show a couple of days ago, you can go back in our archive on Blog Talk Radio, check us out, and find our latest discussion on Bob Myers. The NBA Finals have previewed some of the NBA Finals throughout some of the past couple of days. So if you don't hear me talk as much about the Miami Heat and Denver Nuggets today, it's because we might have calls and I may very well just talk a little more in depth about other such things going on in the NBA finals, such as the bench or certain stats. So, I had a doctor's appointment today. I couldn't be able to start the show at 12:30, but as some of you may know by now, we're going to get underway live consistently starting 12 to 3 next Thursday on a daily basis. Hope you guys continue to choose Sports Kingdom as your number one show here on Blog Talk, iTunes. Sometimes I post on YouTube and mean to get to that. And as well as TuneIn, Stitcher, you name it. But I've always enjoyed using Blog Talk, the phone line. I figure someday, but like I said, we're going to post more on YouTube in the future. Now we have SK1 documentary series coming soon. We'll have a exciting trailer for you guys and such. But for now, I'm here with you guys on Blog Talk. If you just saw us on Twitter, Facebook, give us a call. I'm readily stoked to talk about the NBA Finals, hear your guys' thoughts on what's going to go down tonight between the Miami Heat and Denver Nuggets. I'm sure you guys want me to get to the news, all right? So let's get to the quick news rundown of Monty Williams first, some NBA news. Might mix up with some NHL news, but first, NBA. By the way, if you tune in tomorrow, we're definitely, or possibly the next day, talking about the Stanley Cup Final. We'll definitely bring you along for the NHL Stanley Cup Final and my playoff summary overall of some teams like the Maple Leafs and Seattle Kraken who have new general managers in Ron Francis, not new general managers. One of them happened to extend, and the other just became newly bought out. So, like I said, the Maple Leafs, Kraken, new general new add-on measures as general managers. Francis, of course, Ron Francis, he goes way back. He had not played in the Seattle Kraken organization since the Kraken were nowhere close to be an 80s or 90s or 2000s NHL hockey team. Ron Francis, he's been around, and just recently he picked up the job with the Seattle Kraken and as general manager. And, well, surprisingly enough, they came from a huge deficit last year. They, and his son is glaring right here. Ron Francis, yeah, he was able to take a team that had a losing record, a pretty poor losing record, had even stocked up on Shane Wright, of course, in the 2020 the year previous to this coming draft, Shane Wright at fifth overall. They had a poor record. They had just become an extension team, of course, and now I guess some had high hopes their first season for the Seattle Kraken. Some people saw what the Vegas Golden Knights did. Now look at the Vegas Golden Knights. They're headed to the Stanley Cup final yet again, this time against the Florida Panthers, of course. The Seattle Kraken brought in some new players. It wasn't Mark Stone. It wasn't Belmar or the Vegas Golden Knights, but it happened to be happened to be a group that eventually didn't stay together the following year. Some noteworthy names are Shane Wright coming over from the 2022 NHL draft, and then Beniers, he's put on, surprisingly in my eyes, a better young year than Shane Wright. Manny Beniers, really good center. I think he's going to be a pretty good center for a long time, based off everything I heard. I happened to catch one of his games this past year, but I think the Kraken, they're definitely, talked a lot more this past year. Things happened to change in net for the Seattle Kraken. Like I said, I've gone with some different players over the past 2 years, and and now found a recent exit from the second round of the NHL playoffs. The Kraken are definitely not as disappointing as the Toronto Maple Leafs, which we'll get to, but I'd say for the record, the Seattle Kraken have some nice young talent right now. I think that's what's going to hold them together in the future, based off my projections. And, I'd say, one prospect I'm pretty high on. I'm not too often high on young goalie prospects, especially for someone like I'm about to mention this early, but Nicholas Kako has yet to play for the Seattle Kraken, but said to possibly, at least I believe as well, fill in net for the possible future of the Seattle Kraken. And I think Nicholas Kaka, one of the more interesting international, especially international young goalie prospects out there. So I'd say the Kraken had a good, solid outing this year overall. Maybe they could have just advanced on to another round, but, you know, I would say not to get hopes down this year. For Seattle Kraken players and fans, I'd say even though there was possible breathing room, they managed to come away with a solid display. They really showcased what they were all about and went on to prove that next year and the year after they have a very good opportunity and perception around the league that they can definitely contend and be a viable force, be proven to play and the NHL. It's not like Seattle wants to see another team leave their city so soon. I think it's a nice it's almost a nice name, and I really, really admire the colors, but I would say that Kraken is almost a nice name because I hear some people say, okay, are these the Seattle Crackheads at times? And even based on what you hear from their fans. So, you know, nice name, almost, and admirable colors, but I would say their outlook is just brighter than the name and color itself. They've laid a foundation and they They definitely. I'm gonna end here, but they definitely didn't want to think up to join another year. So to have a winning season is yet another accomplishment. Kudos to Ron Francis and them. Francis is on for more years to come. But the Toronto Maple Leafs, meanwhile, the Toronto Maple Leafs happened to fire their general manager recently. After many years, one of the recent general managers, had my foot's falling asleep. Oh boy, now had compiled many. Not only did he compile the very first and grand piece of them all, Auston Matthews, back in the 2015 NHL draft. They went ahead, selected some other talent in the draft that went on to eventually play with Auston Matthews. And then you also have some key signings and several free agents. Notably, one being William Nylander. William Nylander's a free agent, but John Tavares, of course, free agent. And then the Maple Leaf I was getting to was I'll have to get up and walk for a second. My God. This is really bad. So I said Auston Matthews, and then the grand piece to them all, in terms of being a signing an upcoming free agent is Riley. I had said prior to the season that it was all gonna be a boom or bust season based on the man. I'm gonna have to end the show. This is really bad. My foot. Man, I have like the side effect. That it'll hopefully pass. It'll hopefully pass. If you want to call in, the number is 563-999-3522. If you want to call in, but case in point, it was all going to come down to the net this year with Samsonov filling in that tandem role with Matt Murray. Matt Murray, of course, has had experience in Stanley Cup final, and I think that's just definitely one reason there why the Maple Leafs are hoping that Murray and the rest of the Maple Leafs could go to the Stanley Cup final along with Samsonov providing some I guess I could say requiring backup. You know, they needed to eventually figure out something. And I think prior to the season, they happened to just run away quick with what to do, because let's face it, after the season, Matt Murray, the tandem just wasn't going to work out as much as, say, goalie Serge Bobrovsky right now, who, like I was listening to on NHL Network last night, has one gold medal, is very well just shy of winning Stanley Cup now and going on to cement himself in the NHL Hall of Fame. But yeah, that tandem just not what the Maple Leafs wanted. They went with Mojo of, I'd say, a better run this year in the NHL postseason than some previous. But, you know, they just like the Seattle Kraken were eliminated round two. But I think they really missed out on opportunity this year for Maple Leaf fans, most importantly. I mean, the Maple Leaf fans are probably one of the most dedicated fan bases in all of hockey. I guess you could say some of the major sports. They really, you know, just came off a losing season with the Raptors, and then, you know, with the Blue Jays, I have going to the World Series this year. I'm playing up to my expectations. They've been really getting good production out of Bo Bichette, of course, and Vladimir Guerrero, but I just beg to question the pitching. I mean, Manoah off to not one of his best starts certainly. And you know, the rest of that depth, they could do much better, and I think they will, but who knows? I think maybe they need to add another player at the deadline and try to go from there. But in Toronto, they, on Sportsnet there, are eager for a cup again, and with this second round exit, new general manager, begs the question for some, is Auston Matthews going to return to Toronto? Well, you know, I'd say for the record, Auston Matthews is an American-born athlete. And so I think going into the whole situation before in 2015, I was thinking, you know, I'm not quite sure. I mean, Auston Matthews certainly has put on an incredible career, no matter what you say about him in Toronto. He has put on an incredible career, no doubt, but can he have performed up to a higher level for Toronto fans and attendance many times? Certainly, I think most glaringly the postseason has been the key weakness in Auston Matthews' his game and time in Toronto. I'd say, you know, if Toronto were smart, they would, I think, bring back Auston Matthews. So I think, again, he is, even at this point, suited to come back and play for a market like Toronto. I'm not too sure. But if you bring him back, I think the Toronto Maple Leafs general manager has to consider looking into possibly, of course, giving up some players. I don't think they're going to bring back everyone after free agency. And they're going to hopefully deep into acquiring a premier defenseman. I think they really need a premier defenseman in Toronto. But no, I'll have much more on the NHL later on. knew that this would be a quick news rundown. I was expecting some calls, so, you know, with not many calls or many calls yet, we're going to just move forward again and talk about, as I was mentioning before, and maybe a few other stuff had mentioned in the short pitch on today's show that Shannon Sharp is reportedly leaving Fox Sports One Undisputed. Am I saying he's leaving Fox Sports? I don't know for certain, but he's leaving Fox Sports One Undisputed, which means we're going to talk about Skip Bayless and his parting of the ways with Shannon Sharp, former NFL player and vocal analyst. But of course, I want to get to right now, Monty Williams. Monty Williams, I thought was huge news last night. I was considering doing a YouTube segment on Monty Williams. Just give my reaction. Initial reaction to the whole thing, but for some apparent reason, thinks things had to be brought to now that. Again, Monty Williams has been hired by the Detroit Pistons, and this is going to be a big deal for Detroit fans when you consider that Monty Williams is going to be signed on for $78 million for 6 years. 6 years. And so, if you don't know Monty Williams by now, he has coached the New Orleans Pelicans. He has coached at the time, the New Orleans Hornets, and actually, you know what? Yeah, he did coach both teams for a while, and most particularly mentioning his his talent at the time was Anthony Davis out of Kentucky, and then he went over to Phoenix, and you know, you think about it, he's coached two major stars in Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, who have won championships. Has Monty Williams won the championship? No, but he at least brings a pedigree of experience with players like Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis have won in the past. You know, you also think about more notably in Phoenix, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton. I don't know what. I don't know what went wrong for the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals a couple of years ago against Milwaukee Bucks. Devin Booker, I thought, really had a potential with that team at the time. You know, yeah, you still have Chris Paul, who was who was much healthier than he was this past year, and Mikal Bridges, who I think I saw at a Phillies Mets game on TV recently, and it stood out to me when he wore a Phillies jersey. He wore a Phillies jersey at a New York game. I mean, thoughts right away were, was he just wearing it in the respectful fact that he was in New York? I just guess he was vice versa, Phillies Mets, possibly ruin on both, but I had Mikal Bridges, who, still at that time was developing into the player he has become now in Brooklyn. DeAndre Ayton, it's going to be a talk about NBA free agency this coming off season, and I'd say. I say it's going to be interesting. Do I think Ayton's going to be able to go elsewhere, which seems likely at this point, or unlikely at this point, to make a name for himself outside of Devin Booker? He's definitely okay, but, I kind of think that Ayton doesn't have some of the skills like a LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, when I think of how good Ayton could possibly be next elsewhere, it's LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, would I say he's going to be LaMarcus Aldridge for the previous reason? I don't think he has some of the post-up skills like LaMarcus Aldridge and all-star experience by now, like LaMarcus Aldridge. I think he does get compared excessively a lot to Roy Hibbert, but the Suns, they've decided to move in a different direction with Monty Williams. Still looking for a head coach. Maybe some if they brought in Glenn Rivers, according to reports. I just think the Suns need to really figure things out, because not going back to the finals since 2020. Not going back to the finals since 2021 to me is a bit of a disappointment. At least not even the Western Conference final this past year. I think with a player like Durant and Booker, they should be doing better without Monty Williams, and hopefully they do, but Do I see, like, here's the thing. Do I see holes in the Phoenix Suns? Yes, I do. Do I see holes in Monty Williams just as a coach? No, I don't. I really don't. So, I really like Monty Williams. And I think, of course he didn't. See eye to eye with some personnel towards the end of his Phoenix tenure, but now he has the opportunity to go over to Detroit and put up a much younger roster, lottery pick. Joe Dumars is no longer there. They have a coach who can really relate to players, and I believe, despite the wanting fallout of Phoenix, Monty, when I listened to him before, talked so gracefully and strongly, just such a strong individual, of how his wife, is no longer around, and he like I said, spoke very gracefully and strong, throughout talking and announcing. It was aired on ESPN at the time, and I think not only do organizations like the Hornets, Pelicans now, Phoenix Suns, and now Detroit Pistons have respect tied to Monty Williams, but so is the whole entire league. I think he's one of the more better hires this off season, and I think he'll turn out to take the Pistons back to the playoffs. I really believe the Pistons are gonna go back to the playoffs, even though they recently missed time with Cade Cunningham. This time with Cade Cunningham, and they had quite a depleted roster. I believe they, despite what has been declared by the NBA of the Spurs and first overall pick, now they wound up with the worst record. And, they're just really embarrassing for some to discuss. I think even at the mid-season point, they just crumbled, if I want to put a little bit lightly. They they crumbled, and they now sit with, like I said, Laurie pick. Is it the top? Is it a top three pick? Like, I think the Pistons should have gotten. I think the Pistons and the Laurie ought to be fighting over each other right now, like almost every year, but. If we take a look at recent mock drafts here, of course now the order has been set. Most people likely seeing Wembanyama going number one overall, followed by either Scoot Henderson, Brandon Miller, then you have the Thompson twins. So let's take a look at NBC Sports mock drafts. Hopefully no ads play while this is scrolled down. Victor Wembanyama, number one overall, according to Cam Whitmore of NBC Sports, followed by Brandon Miller to the Hornets. Scoot Henderson, number three to the Trailblazers, followed by Houston Rockets taking Amen Thompson. That was just what I was referring to, the Thompson. I thought it was Cam Whitmore of NBC Sports, but it turns out he is the featured spotlight of number five in this mock draft going to the Detroit Pistons. So if you look here, Cam Whitmore, 6'6", 200 pounds, small forward. Detroit fell lower in the lottery than they were hoping for, but still come away with a great prospect in Whitmore, who has a chance to be a perennial all-star at the wing position. He is the type of athlete that the Pistons seem to like with size, speed, explosiveness, the latter evidenced by his vertical leap at the combine. Whitmore would complement what Detroit already has going with Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, and Jaden Duren. Whitmore can create his own shot off the dribble, finish with power around the rim, and play switchable physical defense. He would fit nicely alongside Duren, Stewart, in a bruising front court. Well, I just mentioned Amen Thompson and then All-Star Thompson going to the Magic at number six. I mean, if you talk about the Thompsons, I believe they've been playing in the G League. Yeah, they've been playing in the G League. Definitely some good players to come out of Villanova. Like we just mentioned, Mikal Bridges, and then Jalen Brunson, a player I think should leave New York. There's talks in other NBA news today that Joel Embiid is to be wanted from the New York Knicks front office if Embiid decides to call it a quits in Philadelphia. I'd really like to see that possibly come to fruition, even as a Sixers fan, because I'll be honest. I took a little time out of today before the show to watch Nick Nurse's introductory press conference on our head coach, recently hired by the Philadelphia 76ers. Nick Nurse a coach I've had my eye on for quite some time, 55 years old, still has, I believe, many more years left in the NBA as a head coach. And when I listened to him, he talked very smartly about certain players like James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, and Joel Embiid. He explained that the X's and O's, the ins and outs, and went on to compliment each player, but you know, with the striking news that Joel Embiid is possibly going to find himself in a different city like New York possibly someday, you know, I'm led to believe that even from what I've gathered from Nick Nurse's press conference today that no thing is for certain in Philadelphia right now. I think Nick Nurse eventually made a smart decision over Phoenix and Milwaukee. I think with Philadelphia, you know, Nick Nurse said you got a great owner who just signed away a contract to buy out the Washington Commanders and then New Jersey Devils, all in different places at once. Philadelphia 76ers owner Josh Harris was lauded today by Nick Nurse, and then Daryl Morey, of course. You know, I doubted this whole process in the beginning, but so far I've been liking it just a tad more than I expected with Sam Hinkie. If you read my Twitter bio, I'll say over and over again that I am a Sam Hinkie supporter, and it was absolutely wrong what the NBA decided to do in terms of throwing away Sam Hinkie for Brian Colangelo burner account, and later Tobias Harris contract. Tobias contract negotiated by none other than former and how can I say this? Intolerant general manager Elton Brand. Speaking as a fan, I just think it's been one whole pothole. It's been one whole pothole in Philadelphia. But with Nick Nurse now, I can only hopefully express that they do some and they figure out some quickly with the direction of Nick Nurse's team now. Are they going to keep on going with Embiid, or are they then just going to, of course, what I've been hoping for, maybe for some of the last few playoff exits to blow some of the team up. And so it's possible they do that, but in the meantime, it's also been speculated with Fred VanVleet's recent comments about the Sixers. He may very well join up with Nick Nurse again in Philadelphia. Yet someone was saying, I saw in the comment section, that, yeah, we sure need another small guard in Fran VanVleet. I mean, they got to, I think this with the Sixers, they got to add some size. Even, I don't know, if Sam Cassell's still around, he can come out of retirement as a coach and star as a Sixers player in the NBA again. No, I was just talking about the Detroit Pistons. We're gonna real quick quickly soon get to the NBA Finals. I'm sure you guys want to touch on that. Maybe we'll hear some of you very soon here on the show. Talk about the Miami Heat versus Denver Nuggets. Game one, we are about 2 hours away. Should be a good game one between Jimmy Butler and the Joker. But first, let me just run down here the rest of what I was going to say about Cameron Whitmore. I mean, that sounds like an interesting description of Cam Whitmore. You know, I'm gonna have more on the NBA drafts very soon, maybe very well. Of course, you know, do my mock draft and coming up with the MLB draft soon. Do a mock draft for that as well on YouTube. We'll provide you with some extra content on YouTube and take advantage of my YouTube membership, of course. So, Cam Whitmore, we'll have more, but all I can really say about him right now is haven't really ever watched him as much as I did with Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, Ryan Arciakuno, but I'd say that Cam Whitmore, 6'6", £200, can be a solid force in the NBA. Do I like his size? No, but what stands out is he has a really impressive vertical leap, and you know, we got these measurables you hear from the combine are very important. Vertical leap over 40. And what was the most impressive, and that's what I mean, Andrew Wiggins. Perfect example, the combine years ago, 6'8", over 200 pounds, you know, still had to fill up his frame, of course, at the time, but still came away on social media like a pro and roughed up one of the coolest vertical leaps I've ever seen. I remember watching ESPN Sports Times with John Brankus, and the guy, of course, was a whiz when the Sixers took Markelle Fultz, and I think that highlight video ESPN put together with John Brankus and Markelle Fultz enticed the Sixers enough to take him. And look what happened. But and I think length does matter in this league today with more of the U.S. professional or U.S. Players coming up through the ranks of college and high school, AAU, but I don't even want to get into AAU, really. I mean, that's just a bad example right there. Someone being highly touted out of AAU, Nerlens Noel, you know. I'd said previously, and I was you know, going to be very much a good player. If, you know, certain things didn't come back to set him back, although, you know, I just think, you know, some that certainly just never fill out their potential or, you know, in certain markets. And I think with Cam Whitmore, he has the potential to look at Jalen Brunson. He's small, he's not as lightning quick for his size like an Allen Iverson, but has still been able to put on a solid career, especially this postseason. But I'd say with Cam Whitmore, odds are, you know, he can you know, with many players like I see or read about Cam Whitmore would say he could be only as good as a role player, really. I think there are definitely many other better prospects than him at number five, like the Thompsons, and then arguably the best athlete, I believe, in this draft, Scoot Henderson. He's going to be, I think, a really, really good player for as long as he could potentially become. I mean, I know it's kind of foolish to say Scoot Henderson should be taking number one overall. I mean, I hear some people saying Scoot Henderson should be taking number one overall, Victor Wembanyama, but even though you've heard me out before say Wembanyama is not going to be, I mean, he could certainly, I think, be a, but I'm not going to go far saying that yet. He could be a good player, but based off the first step, the quick first step, or first step compared to Scoot Henderson, and then certain traits, I'm not believing that Wembanyama is as pure as Scoot Henderson in certain areas, like athleticism. No one can beat, I think, what really stands out for Wembanyama is the size difference alone. He's 7'4" and can do decent stuff readily on the court, but the real point I was going to make is, you know, he has certain traits that are going to just value him at number one. Am I going to say that he could be the number one player in this draft? I'm not going to say that. I'll say he could be the number one player in this draft. But I'm not going to say on air if Wembanyama is when we think 5 years from now being the best player in this draft. I just really can't say that Wembanyama for sure is gonna come over to the States and be able to give me that legitimate impression I had of Kyrie Irving prior to the 2011 NBA draft, Derrick Rose, the 2008 NBA draft, Anthony Davis, the 2012 NBA draft. And so I'm not ready to have or give out my legit impression of Wembanyama yet, concerned of him being the number one player in that in particular drafts like Derrick Rose. When you consider just how good these other prospects can be, I was just saying Scoot Henderson, six foot two, but has a 6'9" wingspan. Just tremendously athletic, and I mean, he could be destined to be a legitimate threat. That's all I'll put it at. You gotta watch or listen to me talk about the NBA draft very soon on YouTube, with the NBA draft quickly approaching on or after June 20th. Past June 20th, there'll be the NBA draft. So in Brooklyn, which I find odd, because I think the NBA draft could be traveling, just like the Angel draft, MLB draft. You know, MLB draft held their draft at a different station as of late, and then you have the NFL draft, the best draft of them all. Really enjoy every year, of course, and enjoyed it when I went. So, no, I was saying, hope that this show becomes your number one show. This becomes the highest outlet, of course, and becomes famous someday. Like to do meet and greets, maybe at pizzerias. You know, I was thinking of pizzerias. You know, like you come in, say hello, have good ties with the pizza owner and business with a slice of pizza. I mean, just so many things on top of my head. Although, let's, I think this about means now we're going to maybe take calls depending on your status and talk about game one between the Miami Heat and Denver Nuggets. Call in now. So game one tonight is in Denver. You know, of course, Denver was the number two seed headed into the play-in tournament, firstly. And, I'd say Denver hasn't faced off against too many great competition like the Miami Heat, as I had seen today. The Miami Heat, you know, of course, defeated the Celtics. Then, despite what you say about the Celtics, they still put on some good performances when you even flashback between games 3 and 6. But Pete, they've had a good run. Celtics, play-in tournament start off, and then they faced the Raptors. No. They played the Knicks. That's right, the Knicks and the Hawks. The Knicks probably gave them their best run for their money. I mean, I think maybe that was just the start of the ascension of Jimmy Butler's playoff greatness. You know, to be able to go into New York and put on one hell of performances in New York and Boston, you know, Atlanta, you know, he's a high volume scorer and probably the highest volume scorer out of them all. Despite what stats say, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, Jalen Brunson, I still believe Trae Young has got a lot going on for his future, whether it's at the Hawks or some really big market. I honestly think he should be playing in New York right now. I mean, that's how highly I think of him. But, you know, it's been said that do win or lose a series against the Denver Nuggets tonight and the rest of the way, then odds are Gabe Vincent is going to join up with possibly the Los Angeles Lakers. I kind of find that a great destination, a good starting point for the Lakers, and someone like Gabe who has that underdog mentality sort of plays in a exceptional market tied into Miami and in Los Angeles. He's not going to be worth so much of a price when you consider the fact that he's went undrafted. He started on and off the bench, and he's only played well less than a few years into his NBA career. He may have a really good outing this postseason series against the Nuggets, and even raise his contract value on the market, but I think Gabe Vincent, no matter a Laker or Heat player, is gonna have a impactful performance this series, along with Strus. I'd say, you know, Strus really lit it up recently. I could see him. I could see him being possibly better than Gabe Vincent. I mean, the determination of some of these young undrafted players, most particularly shooters like Duncan Robinson and Cale Martin. I mean, for them to show off their determination throughout this whole entire postseason, even when it's been sometimes a missed bucket or layup, they've outdone expectations to lead you to believe Robinson, Martin, Vincent, they could very well have some really good performances in this series. Interesting fact, Nikola Jovic, of course, another player that was, well, I think he was either taking the second round or late first round, but he, of course, is talked a lot about when you put in the same sense as Nikola Jokic, I believe, too, both being from Serbia. Jovic, interestingly, is set to possibly win against the Denver Nuggets and be prohibited from drinking. He's 19, and so he can't drink champagne. He can't celebrate with his teammates if the Miami Heat win over the Denver Nuggets. I had a thought in my head. 7:04, we're almost down to game one between Miami Heat, Denver Nuggets. Yeah, so Nikola Jovic, he can't drink, but I guess what I was about to say was Jimmy Butler, also said, interestingly enough, I was quite wondering how he would celebrate if he won the NBA Finals. I don't know if he caught a documentary yesterday of NBA TV. There was a 2001 Sixers and head coach Larry Brown talking about the rise and fall of the 2001 76ers, of course. Intriguing series, and especially intriguing time to think about NBA TV airing this type of documentary. Really enjoyed it. After the pandemic, I believe, it's kind of odd or rare because of the pandemic. And so, previously before the NBA TV network aired Kobe, a documentary of Kobe before he went on to say Mamba out and, Kobe out. Then also Michael Jordan, the great, and since you have me tuning in exclusively right now, and I have been such loyal listeners, viewers, right now or over there, past and or future, I guess I'll give you a little hint. So at this, since you're here right now, or you're here listening later on, but I'll give you a little hint to SK1, his first documentary. It will have Michael Jordan involved in it. So that's all I'll say about it. But for now, stay tuned. And if you want to call on the number two show, is 563-999-3522. Yeah, 563-999-3522. And so, I'm trying to remember. Jimmy Butler, interestingly said, but unsurprisingly to me, said he's going to retire as a Heat. He's not going to play anywhere else. And so my initial reaction to that is I think has said the right words. He, world-class organization, when you look at them from top to bottom and worldwide, Jimmy has played for the Heat, the Sixers, the Timberwolves, and Chicago Bulls. And so I think now he's really come to the point now that he just says to himself, exceptionally fine by now with staying as a Miami Heat player and retiring as one. And I think he's really formed a good connection now in Miami, despite what some people say about the Heat and Jimmy Butler behind the scenes. I think he's really formed a real good connection with Coach Spoelstra. He'll go down as one of the best coaches in Miami Heat history. I don't know if you want to say he's better than Heat alumnus or Heat former Heat coach Pat Riley. I'm not too sure. I definitely say I always loved watching Pat Riley as a coach when I was much younger, but. I don't know, for Spoelstra to be able, he came in so young and, to be able to be on to another appearance in the NBA Finals is just truly truly, truly vast for the Miami Heat organization and fans. But Jimmy Butler retiring as a Miami Heat player, and I think he'll, when we say he's done officially playing as a player, and not only for the Miami Heat, but the NBA as well, he'll, I bring up the 2001 Sixers documentary special because, Jimmy Butler he definitely resonates with me. From a fandom standpoint, but professional. I think he shows Allen Iverson antics on the court. Sometimes, but what sticks out, which is one of the reasons why I think the Heat may possibly win. I'll give my prediction again later on, but they may possibly win because Jimmy Butler just has established that key mentality unlike Allen Iverson. Like I said, over and over again, it is and has become the best version of himself, Jimmy Butler. I think the Heat have done their due diligence up to this point. I guess that's everything I was going to say about Jimmy Butler and some of the Heat. They are the number 8 seed, so, and I have something else to inform you about, and that's Tyler Herro. I expected him to be playing game one, but according to sources, he's going to be most likely playing either or solely past game one. He should, from what I heard, play game three. So that's some good news there. But then again, when I've watched the Heat this postseason, they played much better without Tyler Herro on the court. I mean, they seem to be they seem to be good or bad without Tyler Herro. And speaking of Tyler Herro, I'd say, you know, for the record, Bam Adebayo has played much better than Tyler Herro this postseason, and I think Herro himself could be at least outplaying some of the undrafted players, such as Duncan Robinson and others. I think he has shown tremendous ability in the past to score. And I think, you know, if maybe some games or more, Tyler Herro actually comes away, this NBA Finals is a hidden gem, then I think he can really strongly uplift the Heat's chances of winning some or a good majority of their NBA final is contest against Nikola Jokic. And so, you know, I was reading up on, you know, some of the Denver Nuggets' bench. We had talked about starting lineups yesterday, as well as some of the matchups between players like Butler and Murray, or Butler versus Jokic. I mean, I did some follow up on the bench, and you know, before I tell you what I have partially read, some said to be true about Bruce Brown has done in our eyes this postseason. I think Bruce Brown, even though he's not ever in my eyes reached deserved starter in the league, when you include his time with the Nets and now Nuggets. No, he has definitely showed some flashes this postseason. And, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, you know, if I had to give my hidden gem of the Nuggets this very time, I'd say Bruce Brown could very well be the hidden gem. I think he like Tyler Herro, have some to prove, and I think with Bruce Brown, he
he's shown that knack to want to start in Denver, and no, I think certainly felt good when the Nuggets defeated Durant and the Suns. Good morale booster, I feel, for Bruce Brown, coming off a moral but ethic victory over Durant and the Suns. And I believe his contract is set to turn elsewhere if all doesn't go according to plan for Bruce Brown and the Nuggets front office. I'd say Bruce Brown could see some playing time, as well as another small forward. And I'll then wrap up with one other bench star, Jeff Green. Jeff Green has faced so many battles in his career, and not only so many battles in his career, but his own life in general. Jeff Green is set to, I believe, play out on the biggest stage in biggest moment of his career, which is to win the NBA Finals Championship once and for all. He's played with so many teams, tried to win with LeBron. He's tried to win with the Celtics, the Thunder at one point. He's unequivocally bounced around. And the Nuggets will stand to put Jeff Green in motion and see him try and knock down shots. Do I think he can knock down shots as efficiently as I've witnessed in the past? Yes, I think he can certainly have a not only a tremendous performance, but a performance of a career lifetime. I think he has the he has the best palate of them all. He has a chance to win the NBA Finals and make history with the Denver Nuggets franchise. You also have one other player I was going to mention, Christian Braun, rookie this year, first-round pick. You know, saw increased minutes after Nuggets trading away Bones Highland with 15 minutes per game. He's made a lot of those 15 minutes per game, I believe, this year, according to what I had learned. He must be, in my opinion, one of the better first-round picks that the Nuggets have gained in years. I mean, for someone like that, 22nd to go 22nd overall and receive as close to minutes as, say, a player Michael Porter got in his first season with the Denver Nuggets. You know, he gets there, the fact that Michael Porter Jr. was projected at one point to be a top lottery pick, very well in the top five at least, of his respective draft. I think Christian Braun, he he has not only potential, but I mean, in the past about seven games I looked at, he didn't really produce as much. But again, then again, what do you expect? I mean, maybe for someone 6'8", 222 pounds, we do see him get at least 15 minutes on the court. I might be wrong, being less, a little less, but I think he may have the potential to go out and I mean, I've mentioned now forwards Christian Braun, Jeff Green, Bruce Brown, because I think we talked so much about Jaylen Brown being a choking disappointment in Game 7 with 8 turnovers. Of the Eastern Conference Finals, but fast forward to the NBA Finals, you got arguably a sensational amount of depth that I don't think gets talked about in the same or better tone than the Miami Heat depth. I think now that he have really certainly come out firing, but then again, you know, we talk about the Nuggets, they've had much more rust than the Miami Heat now. I think this is why I was just remembering that Jimmy Butler, he's had not only tremendous performances in Boston and New York, but he's also went on to have better postseason stats. You know, not only the author out of many of his postseasons, if not all, but advanced to managed to accumulate and establish better stats than than the regular season. In his postseason time, so he he's been. I'm sorry. Someone listening. I think we got some listeners outside my window. I got a tennis court right behind me. I don't know. Maybe. I heard the word Jimmy Butler. I mean, fans finally spiked. We're almost one hour away. God feels spiked at this point. We're 1 hour away from seeing possibly one of the best single series upsets in Jimmy Butler over Jokic. Jokic, almost a three-time MVP in my mind, has now been set up to face Jimmy Butler, who has not won MVP, who has not, I'd say, get mentioned a lot in the same breath of players such as Jokic, Giannis. I mean, I think Butler's had a great postseason. He's had a great postseason, but does he stand throughout the test of time of showing out certain stats with his postseason regular season performances with Jokic and even Giannis, some of the international stars have taken off, climbed up success, and been more figured. I mean, I'm not sure about Jokic. Jokic was a second round pick, but still, you know, with him establishing himself quite more the resume, in my opinion, than Jimmy Butler. And then you have Giannis. I mean, no one would think that, based off the play-in tournament this year, and predicting your postseason bracket, that the Heat would be this far into the NBA postseason and have a chance at winning over the Nuggets, the first 8-seeded team since the 1999 New York Knicks with Patrick Ewing. Then again, we talk about, I mean, is this the very time we see almost the same thing happen, but flip-flop in a sort of way? We see Patrick Ewing, who was a first overall pick back in the 80s, and then, of course, reigned to success in the 1999 season, and lost. I mean, Jimmy Butler definitely. I mean, if you ask me, I mean, I don't know about Vegas. I don't really look into Vegas that often, but I assume, you know, with Vegas, and doubt my opinion, Jimmy Butler is favored to be the underdog against an NBA big, like Jokic, in the same sense as Ewing, as well being this very, I believe, highly coveted player more than Ewing or Jokic being more highly coveted than Jimmy Butler. I mean, you know, Ewing, I'd always say to myself, you know, Jimmy Butler is without saying my man to pick for the Heat to win in this series against the Nuggets, but Ewing, you know, Ewing won gold medal honors in the Olympics, became part of the Dream Team, and you know, I'd say, you know, without the 1999 NBA Finals championship, he's still arguably someone, if you put him in today's NBA, I think he, you know, some players just can't top Ewing, even though the style has changed in terms of how bigs are viewed, but you know, the Nuggets, they faced off some competition as well in the Western Conference with the Los Angeles Lakers, the Phoenix Suns, and then also the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, they've really they've really they've really come a long way, just like the we can't go discrediting the sweat and effort these players have fused along. The Nuggets have certainly played against a huge battle. Their hugest battle being against the Lakers, I believe. I think getting over that hump of the Western Conference Final, coming from 2020 down, they were in the bubble. They lost to the Lakers then. But say about 3 years later now, I was kind of expecting them to be back in the Western Conference Final sooner than later. But fast forward 3 years later, they're over that hump now, and they're headed towards the NBA Finals. I think Jimmy Butler has certainly had more of a test to mount up to than when you talk about some of the Nugget players. But when you talk about the Nuggets, they've had their most adversity overall over their individual players, and coming this far, so. Game one, there's certainly a lot more I want to talk about. So with little calls or not unfortunately today, you can still call in 563-999-3522. I'm going to talk about what I just had seen here a little while ago, and then maybe I'll touch on just the few more news topics I heard last night in regards to CM Punk returning to AEW. June 17th, we'll talk about that, maybe one little other thing, but let's talk with the remaining time we have left on the air, and I got to really use the bathroom. Let's take a break. You know, I'm gonna take a break here, and when we come back, I will talk about the news I'm about to talk about. We'll be right back. and welcome back to Sports Kingdom here on Blog Talk Radio. I encourage you guys to keep following along on Blog Talk Radio here at blogtalkradio.com/sportskingdom/. You can also find us on social media as well as sportskingdomtv.com. Like I said before, I'm not too sure if I'm going to necessarily keep around the same URL. As it's obvious by now, we're undergoing some changes. So, hope you're nonetheless enjoying today's broadcast here on Blog Talk. So let's get into Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, former NFL player, and like I mentioned before, vocal analyst. Shannon Sharp is leaving Fox Sports 1 undisputed. He's not necessarily, at the, my knowledge right now, leaving Fox Sports altogether, but is said to be leaving Fox Sports 1 after some controversy between Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. They've had their moments with each other, especially on air times. But hopefully when we look back upon this, we say to ourselves that, Shannon, Skip, they did provide an alternative for several viewers, and some viewers in the morning, whether ESPN First Take was on or not at times, rolling along with Stephen A. Fire. I wonder how Stephen A. feels about this. I'd say as much as what or anything Stephen A. likes to quote or say on or about Skip Bayless, I still think at the end of the day, you have to Bayless many times reconcile with the fact that Skip Bayless has contributed to the rise of First Take and becoming a featured slot on Fox Sports 1. He has, I believe, helped Stephen A's, if you want to say, rise to fame now. Stephen A, he's been featured on SNL. He's been featured on numerous of entertainment media outlets. He starred on General Hospital. There are just marketing philosophies tied into Stephen A's name. I think Skip Bayless deserves some sort of grade on his efforts over the years. He's like I said, argued and disagreed with people, but he has he has
And I'll say, you know, like I've never been much of a Skip Bayless fan, but I say, you know, my grade of how Skip Bayless has what can I say? He's evoked many reactions. He's put together some of the silliest things at times, but one thing's for certain, he's always stayed loyal to himself, and that's being the Skip Bayless, you know, talking about his Dallas Cowboys and how he believes Tim Tebow's the man. You know, with Shannon Sharp, I don't know his reason for leaving Fox Sports 1 Undisputed, but, you know, I thought from the get-go that Shannon Sharp wasn't so much of a favorite pick of mine. If you think about it, what if Shannon Sharp was on Speak on Fox Sports 1. I seem to think that show that's, you know, somewhat dedicated towards the black demographic is lacking in what Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless had established. And I remember when Undisputed first aired, when Fox Sports 1 was put together, there was Fox Sports Live, followed by some UFC content, and then you had you also had Undisputed, and I think Undisputed just you know, was certainly one of the better shows on the network, and Shannon Sharp said, thank you so much on the first show. I remember this, Skip, for tagging me along on this journey, and that, you know, Skip has been essentially, when I read back on the whole body language and what he was trying to voice, Shannon Sharp had viewed Skip Bayless as more of a mentor in the beginning. And so, you know, Skip, I think, definitely helped Shannon Sharp raise to some success he has now in the media world. I mean, he started out at CBS Sports with James Brown, Bill Cowher, Boomer Esiason, in the same old group. I mean, if they got to change it. I like the Fox. Put the Fox crew, but the CBS crew, my. Although, he started out with CBS Sports, then made his way after a controversial exit yet again, some controversial, to Fox Sports 1. I think if you're asking where did he have his most success from, Certainly, initially CBS Sports, but Fox Sports 1. Yeah, I'd say, you know, he's definitely gained some personal success, business success from Fox Sports 1, which later now I believe he's going to help gain interest in his podcast. I think Club Shay Shay or something like that.
is, going to stand out. It's when people think of Shannon Sharpe now, they're going to say, oh, well, or if they go look for Shannon Sharpe online, they'll probably come across Club Shay Shay. I don't know, but yeah, of course, Shannon Sharpe now, looking back on his whole legacy, was an avid LeBron fan and Lakers fan. I was kind of shocked at first when I heard that, but he's really over time shown knack for not only knowing mostly football but basketball, I guess some of the sports as well, which I didn't quite pay attention to on Fox Sports 1. When you think about the much attention Fox Sports 1 Undisputed or ESPN First Take gives towards other sports than football and basketball, but I think do I think Fox Sports 1 is in good hands after the departure of Shannon Sharpe? I think Fox Sports 1 has, in my mind, maybe a few good shows I watch from time to time. I used to watch a whole lot of Colin Cowherd when he first came out on Fox Sports 1, but now I know he sort of dwelled on me a little bit, but you have Colin Cowherd show, and then I mentioned Speak. I mean, it's not too bad of a show. I like Emmanuel Acho, former Eagles Emmanuel Acho, and LeSean McCoy for that reason. But I'd say the most interesting show in my eyes that doesn't get enough attention is the Carton show. Carton used to co-host with Boomer on CBS Sports Network shows in New York, and he also used to do MMA on Censored with, I believe, a trained MMA fighter along with Luke Thomas, who's been on our show. I mean, Luke Thomas, of course, is a highly known name in the MMA industry by now. And to be able to talk to him for just 10 to 15 minutes, I mean, that was pretty cool. Hopefully we can get him on again. I don't know if we could at this point. Who knows though, if we, depending on you guys decide just how this becomes not only your number one show, but the hottest outlet for all of Sports Talk Sanity, as read in the description here, and on possibly your electronic devices, but yeah, I mean, keep it going. Let's keep it going with this show. We have about 30 minutes left until the NBA Finals kicks off. Going to be a fascinating game, to say the very least. Jimmy Buckets, my man. Only if he had stayed in Philadelphia. Now, I'd say I might convert to a Heat fan. You know, I used to always say, I always used to nitpick with some, especially this one girl about being a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, hopping over from the Heat to the Cleveland Cavaliers when LeBron James jumped ship, of course, yet again. But I've always been a devoted Sixers fan. I mean, it's really been tough over these years, really. Really tough. I think the last time I really enjoyed Sixers basketball was just for maybe a few minutes of this year's NBA postseason. And then, I don't know. I mean, I did enjoy the entertainment for a while with, I guess you could say, the whole circus quartet of Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris. And then, I follow the Sixers. I'm sure you could see some of my content still on the SixerSense.com website. But I'd done articles between 2014 and 2015 a while ago. And Now I just talk with Kim every day. So, Sports Kingdom, yeah. So, what are we going to talk about? AEW. New news on AEW. Which is why I shared it towards the end. I know some of you guys are probably not fans of wrestling, especially if you were back in the day, and now just maybe like me, just doesn't think it's as good as it used to be, but AEW, they announced on Dynamite last night. I was watching maybe only the first 30 minutes of the show before kicking it off to the Sixers documentary on NBA TV. But not to get off topic, but I was just randomly thinking about it'd be cool if he hosted a sports game hosted a watch along at a bar someday. I mean, I was just thinking, you know, in relation to the NBA Finals tonight, that I'm sure, you know, especially since I expected a good amount of callers today, that NBA Finals coverage is on ESPN right now. I'm sure most people are watching or hosting parties right now, whether it's at a bar or home. But I thought maybe it's possible that you know, everyone's just, gearing up for the NBA Finals. I'm sure if I was you right now, I'd be maybe tuned in to my show and the TV, or just my show or just the TV right now. But think with the NBA Finals being as prestigious as it is, you know, every time of the year people possibly just gather at the TV, or hear if you're really enjoying today's show, which you can, of course, listen to later, but if you want. But yeah, with the watch along, you know, as always we do, it's done virtual, or in the case of the NBA Finals, no, gain audience at home, and possibly a possible audience at home, or interest at the bar. So, you know, I have many ideas, but well, let's get back to AEW with this time started to tick down here on my studio. Studio screen. AEW, they announced the return of CM Punk June 17th, and I think it's going to be very interesting. What I really like most is not the CM Punk graphics or announcement. I really just like the new graphics of the entire AEW Collision show. I mean, that's what is focused to be centered around in AEW, I believe, is the AEW Collision show, much rather than CM Punk, even though CM Punk will maybe gain an audience. And some are thinking, oh, it's CM Punk. Yeah, he's probably going to gain an audience and the best merchandise thing, which stands as being accurate. But no, no, not really. Oh, what happened? Oh, I don't know what to really make of all this. So, like I said, I'm not too interested, other than really the minuscule fact CM Punk was announced and AEW Collision graphics give me a hell yeah, like Stone Cold, but no, I talked about AEW Double or Nothing. You can check that out on one of our past episodes here on Blog Talks. No, I was beginning to say, CM Punk, he I think, may draw, but, can draw as much as he used to? I don't think so. I think, and something has to be said about the rise of Cody Rhodes right now in WWE. I think he's just on top of his game right now, as long as he stays healthy. I mean, he said that he broke his arm, apparently, at the Night Champions press conference. But with this rise, I wouldn't be too surprised if Cody continues to escalate and, turn out like the rest of WWE to have success, even though, you know, WWE hasn't really been my cup of tea. I'll tell you, you know, like the moments I really enjoyed in the recent past of WWE, maybe a little far beyond recent past, is AJ Styles' Royal Rumble debut, and then Bryan Danielson you know, having the success he adequately had, and Bryan Danielson, AJ Styles really turned out to be one of my favorite performers I've seen in WWE. You know, I've never, even though, like, I have a friend who will say, you know, backstage, you know, working at WWE, Seth Rollins is probably the most I don't know what the word is. But I'll just say what he said. He said that Seth Rollins is the most friendliest guy or easygoing guy to be around with, and talk to in terms of business matters. But I don't know. I think Cody. I said Cody. You know, he's never gonna quite resonate with me like several past performers. Many of several past performers. Some of several performers in the past. If I say one star sticks out right now in WWE, maybe it's I can't really think of any. I really can't. I'd say, you know, no. Everyone's so high on Gunther, but I think there's many more better matches to watch in New Japan and other certain wrestling promotions like Will Ospreay. You know, it was said recently Will Ospreay had and has totaled five-star matches, according to Dave Meltzer. I mean, I, of course, agree with Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay isn't doesn't have to worry about five-star matches so much from a guy like Dave Meltzer, but when you just consider the fact that he doesn't have to prove to you that he's a five-star match kind of guy. He just plainly is. So no matter what kind of style you may favor, whether it's high-flying or technical, but yeah, I mean, I heard WWE's hiring for writers. I guess I have a friend in WWE, so this time I'm not gonna ask or inquire, but I am gonna possibly
I mean, if I do ever apply again to WWE as a creative writer, it'd only be because I want to do it for the curiosity of traveling. Making money, okay? I'm trying my best to make a decent income. And then there's the whole admiration going back to when I was younger. I would list to think of things I wanted to do with my life before and I'd say during the inception of Sports Kingdom in 2012 was becoming the head writer of TNA. But once I kind of thought, okay, it's not realistic, but yeah, just seeing eventually what my friend who's been on the show previously before, work in WWE now, and continue to do Sports Kingdom. For anyone that wants to apply, it's a very tough job from what I hear. Full time, got to travel to premium live events, the TV shows, and then TV shows and headquarter meetings. So I'm talking a lot of travel, even though regardless if I do Sports Kingdom or wrestling, either way, invest time into invest my time, period. So, whatever I can do to invest my time and that's all I can really say. So, 10 minutes left. If you want to drop any quick comments on social media here on Blog Talk or our email, never give our email recently. It's skbtradio@gmail.com. Kind of cool I still have that, but so hungry. I'm about to text real quick. Apparently, Joe Biden fell on stage during the U.S. Air Force Academy graduation ceremony. I don't agree with that many politics, so I'll leave it at that. But let's see what. Mr. Dinner.
All right, so I guess finish up on what I watched for a little 30 minutes of last night, the AEW Dynamite. What stood out to me was, AEW did a great job of holding the viewers' interest for the first 30 minutes. I felt they really made sure to advertise a whole lot, AEW Collision, especially on some of the low corners of the screen. And then pan over to Tony Schiavone and Jay White and Juice Robinson. I really felt they made an impact. No pun intended, Impact Wrestling. They made an impact, and I think they're going to, once again, some of the chatter online sort of made me doubt for a sec, Jay White and Juice Robinson, but, I think they're going to turn out well, whatever happens with them between now and their future in AEW or possibly WWE. I mean, I'm surprised some of these guys aren't in WWE, but look at that. I'm sorry, guys. I pulled away the microphone for about a second. Just saying, Jay White, Juice Robinson, successful promo, and then we saw a good outing from Wheeler Yuta. I think Wheeler Yuta is just starting to gain legitimacy in front of the eyes of. I really felt like the first 30 minutes targeted towards the hardcore AEW audience and then some other wrestling fans who can either watch some wrestling action or see a Punk announcement. They got you, but they hooked you. But after the first 30 minutes, I think things mostly were targeted towards AEW wrestling. So, was very intrigued by Wheeler Yuta. Who has he gained the most help from, Brian Danielson or William Regal? I think, well, of course, from a character standpoint, William Regal, but from a wrestling perspective, it has to be Brian Danielson. I've mentioned numerous times this past week how much I've liked Brian Danielson, but in this situation, I gotta hand it to William Regal. I don't know what Will Yuta and some of the Blackpool Combat Club would be doing right now without William Regal, and now I think they'll be putting them over at their recent live event on pay-per-view. Um,
I think the Blackpool Combat Club are very well much over in AEW. Are they in professional wrestling? You know, they gotta continue on if they want to cement their legacy up there with stables like the Elite, who are broadly invested by professional wrestling fans. So, been a good way to start off the month of June. I've been your host, Jbriar the King, today. You can find me on Twitter at JbriarSK. Give me your thoughts on everything I talked about today on the show. I'm going to go ahead and end it here, Eat. So thank you guys very much for tuning in, and I'll be back tomorrow. Well, I'd like to say 12, but I think I'm going to just wrap it up and say 12:30. So stay tuned, especially on social media at SportsKingdom TV. So thank you guys very much, and so long.